It is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. They are, of course, from Treasure Crest Appraisal Group. You can find them on the web at tqag.com. First things first, Greg, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm much better, but I don't have a voice.
You kind of sound like a male version of who's that female actress that had that raspy voice?
Bea Arthur?
Yeah, well, she was one of them. That's exactly right.
Brenda
well.
Vaccaro.
Well, anyways, well, just keep something warm, some warm fluid by you, Greg, so you don't lose your voice completely.
Thanks for all of your thoughts. It was, I'm actually feeling very good. It's just, it's kind of an unusual experience. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and for those who don't know, he did have a neck procedure with discs. And if anybody that's gone through that, you know what he's going through. So he's in the thing around his neck for the next 3 months.
I was slightly disappointed because when I woke up from the anesthetic, I was still only 5'8 and a half. I thought for sure I would at least been 6 feet and, you know, look like George Clooney. But that's a whole nother surgery. That's next week.
Well, we hope you get better. I'm going to warn you guys in advance. I go in for my stem cell replacement on Monday. So Tuesday, we will not have a show on Tuesday. I'll warn you in advance.
But, you know, just a very quick anecdote here. Every time I've been talking to friends of mine and they want to know how I'm doing, I preface the conversation is, you know you're getting old when every conversation you have with a friend is about your latest doctor.
That's it. Well, especially, you know, when you're in the 60s, like I saw somebody yesterday that hasn't seen me in 7 months. And I'm walking down the ramp, and I'm walking slow because I've got, of course, the knees that need to be worked on. And he's walking up the ramp, and I said, hello. And he looked at me, and he goes, Marshall? So I said, yeah. He goes, geez, you've lost a ton of weight. So I said, well, since you've seen me, yeah, I've lost 82 pounds. Wow. So health is always the topic when you see somebody in the 60s, no matter what it is. Gee, you look great. Gee, you look terrible. Is there something wrong?
What's going on?
Well, just let me say that if you're 48 years old, on your 49th birthday, I guarantee you that you will receive a membership request from AARP. So as soon as you see that, you better get those doctors lined up because you're on the other side.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get into something that happened in the past week that amazes me. And once again, let's go back to video games. There was a sale of a Nintendo cartridge for $870,000 on Friday, making it the world's most expensive game. Not right after that, another Super Mario 64 sold at auction for more than $1.5 million.
And did you hear what the caveat was of that?
What?
One of the reasons is because it had never, ever been opened. It was still in the original cellophane.
And it was graded. So, you know, it went through the grading system, and I think it was a 9. It was graded as a 9 or a 9.1. I mean, it was just in such amazing condition. Never used, never opened. So that... I don't know where the ceiling is on these when it comes to the video games. And people are finding these things, and, I mean, they're finding them, but they're used. But when you find them when they're unused and still in a pack and almost pristine condition, I mean, in just such excellent condition, then the market goes crazy.
You know, what's interesting, Nintendo, I think all these companies that released these video games early on, I don't think they had the foresight to see how big this might become in the future. And I don't think even people that initially purchased them, maybe a few didn't think, but there are people that purchase products when they come out and they just never use them. They keep them under wraps for exactly this. They don't buy them because they want to play the game. They buy them because, well, maybe in the future this is going to be worth something.
Speculators. or futures.
Not so much speculators, but we've had a couple of the states, big estates, where the person who passed away, they just were compulsive buyers, and they honestly did not even remember what they had. So when we went through a lot of their things to sell for the estate, there were things that were still in the original unpacked boxes, not just the packaging, but the unpacked boxes, and they arrived at their home, like hundreds of these items, and some of them were never ever touched. So that's even an extra layer, because I was trying to figure out from reading the article, where was this all this time and what kept it from being used? Because it was one of those things that's probably as rare as you can get when it comes to packaging, is an original, like Mario Brothers in the original package.
Yeah, because that was very popular, and that was a game that just really everybody had, and they were everywhere, and you have it. And it could have been that somebody was gifted it, and they said, oh, I don't like that, or they moved on to another game and just never really played with it.
But also, what's the luck of it? I mean, they're wrapped in that.
I know.
They're wrapped in that plastic. What's the luck that plastic is going to hold and tight seal for 20 years or whatever? I mean, it really is. I guess if you get one of these things and it happens, you deserve it, because the chances of it actually making 20 or 30 years being totally unopened.
You know, especially with the packaging, because the packaging is primarily made from, a lot of it is primarily made from petroleum-based products, which are not...
They disintegrate very easily.
Yeah, they disintegrate after years of just being, then, you know, the moisture dries out. So the fact that it's in this kind of condition with the original packaging, something.
That's probably why it got a 9 instead of a 10, is that there might have been some deterioration to that plastic, which is what goes on over age. And I'm just speculating. I didn't read this. I don't know. But it also, when it was graded, they had it encapsulated like they do the baseball cards. So they have already come out with the encapsulation device for these video game cartridges, because I'm sure more and more people, if this continues, more and more people will be wanting to get theirs graded and to have those available for sale, because you're going to see everyone's going to be, I mean, especially whenever anything like this comes out. And I mean, I was thinking about it last night, Marshall, and I was watching the news, and there it was. And I mean, I had the alert that this sold, but then it made like the national news, and that it was just in passing. People are going to go through their garages, their attics, their basements. They're going to be like, where is that? You know, because you know those games are laying around, and I'm sure they're going to get inundated with a number of, hey, I've got mine, send me my check. But
wait, you know, that brings up something. That brings up something too, Tim, and that is, of things that are could happen like this in the future, because when we started, we never thought that like these games would be $1 million collectibles.
Right. Right.
But now, if you stop and think about it, what's the next biggest cult? Well, that's not the right word. The next most popular thing for young kids and teens, and that's Pokemon. We always make fun of Pokemon. But you know what? They just recently, there was a sale of a lot of Pokemon things, and I'm trying to remember where I saw it. And they were going through the roof, through the roof for these trading cards. So, you know, I guess the people now who are starting to buy them are the ones who grew up with them. And that's what drives the nostalgia market, is somebody who had something when they were a kid that they either lost or they still have and are trying to look for other items. So that's kind of the definition of what makes a perfect collectible.
Or they were denied. Their mother said, no, you can't play those video games.
Right. You can't play those video games as long as you're living in my basement.
How many?
And now they're running tech companies and saying, hey, I've got disposable income. I'm going to I'm going to buy this and display this.
How many grandparents are upset with themselves by saying, "Don't waste your money on that"?
Yeah. No. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Tim used to say when we first got started, he used to say, "We only have a job because of mothers who threw things away." So,
well,
that's true. That's true.
What makes me feel a little bit better in this, and it's hard to imagine that I'm going to, in conjunction with a cartridge game by Nintendo, that I'm going to mention Leonardo da Vinci altogether. But there was a drawing the size of a postage stamp that went for $12.2 million at Christie's. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Right.
Oh, now you piqued my interest. I have to look that up. I did not see that.
And the funny thing is, it only got one bid. That's it. One bid. $12.2 million. There's somebody who definitely was on the lookout for that and wants it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's amazing. We are, and the other thing you've heard us say, there's no shortage of someone or of a person to buy something that you don't think is even going to sell. It's just amazing what people will buy. And that's why everybody said, well, this is only worth $10. Well, value being a relative term has, you know, it's we've had people who we've appraised things for and they can't, it was $10, and they go, oh, it's really worth $10? Really? And then we have people, we had things that were appraised for, you know, a couple $1,000s. No, you're wrong. It has to be worth more than that.
Yeah.
So,
well, what's interesting about this is it's obviously somebody who's a Leonardo da Vinci collector and thinking that maybe by adding that to his collection, his or her collection now becomes more valuable.
Well, that's possible. That's certainly possible. And is it going to be more valuable because it's in another collection, a larger collection of Leonardo da Vinci, or is it going to add to the value of the current collection because it's now in that collection? So
those are all the intangibles that go into really figuring what something's going to sell for, because if it's part of a really prestigious collection, or it even adds prestige because it is, all of those things factor in. But it's interesting that that must have been the reserve, that there was just one bid.
And, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Know, it just sold for that. And the other thing with Da Vinci is, if you remember the Salvador Mundi that sold for $500 million, and people were saying, well, they don't know how much of that was really all Da Vinci or was it a student. When it comes to some of the old masters, there's also some trepidation of people wanting to, you know, really go higher, but someone believed in it and said, hey, I'm really willing to put the money out there, and ended up purchasing it. So that's good.
And just think of the dollar values that we're talking about here on an internet auction. Right. And even as recent as 7 years ago, when we were talking about this on the show, it's like nobody wants to buy art online. Nobody wants to do this online. It's too expensive. You got to see it. You got to touch it. And here we are, you know, 7 to 10 years later, and bingo.
Well, here's one thing that I wanted to end with, back to $1.5 million. And this just sold last week. Fishermen netted. It's what they call whale vomit. Sorry for everyone who's eating breakfast, but they dredged it up, and it was 280 pounds of this stuff that sold for $1.5 million.
And boy, that's a serious case of kaopectate right there.
Yes, there's something going on there, but it's found. It's called ambergris, ambergris, ambergris. And it is found only in sperm whales, and it's a waxy substance that is used in fine perfumes to make scents last longer. So think of that the next time you're spraying on your Gina Tim.
The next time somebody you walk past somebody and they give you a headache.
Right. It's because of the whale vomit that made their perfume. But it's $1.5 million. These fishermen netted it, and they were, I mean, they weren't there to, you know, they netted it. It's something that occurs in the oceans.
Well, all I can say is, here, honey, happy Valentine's Day. Here's some whale vomit.
Exactly. That'll make your scent smell longer. Well, and it's expensive.
Well, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up with this. We'll go from Christie's to Sotheby's. They sold the source code for the World Wide Web, the source code, for $5.4 million.
Wow.
The source code.
Right, that's the intangible. Yeah. Because what do you get? You just, it's a code, and you get, and I wonder, did they sell that through, like, you had to use Bitcoin to pay for it? Did you have to use
I was just going to ask that, because if I understand this correctly, isn't that what fungible or non-fungible? Isn't that what that is?
I don't know, but Jill Goodman is right. I'll include in some of these bids and stuff like this in the money transfer. There's got to be money laundering going on. Really, there has to be for some of this stuff.
There has to be.
Well, there's no regulation, yeah. So why would you think it wasn't? Yeah. You know, it becomes a way. Wherever there's a loophole, that's where you're going to find any kind of things like this. I mean, nefarious situations. But 5.5 for the code, the source code to the internet. Interesting.
Well, I think if you're somebody that's in the tech field, and you're like Bill Gates or whatever, somebody who's been in the tech field, it might be something that, seeing as you've got the money to spend, it might be something that you want. But still, you look at all these different things and you figure, where's this money coming from? How's it going to it? How many banks does it go through? And so, yeah, you know, Jill was right when she used to say this, I used to flush it off, but now I don't. Yeah, there's got to be a lot of illegal money that goes into these things that makes it legal.
She's exactly right.
And you know, wasn't it Albert Einstein said that for every action there's an equal and no, that wasn't him. It was Newton, maybe, I forget. But for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, and that's what crime is. Stop and think about it.
Yeah,
if you put it out there, somebody will. It's like you put it out there, you build it, they will come.
And that was Newton.
All right, guys, an interesting morning this morning. Thank you very much for putting up with my observations here.
Hey, no, it's wonderful, and I think that what this is showing us is that yes, the markets are, especially for rare and desirable collectibles, are very active both online and in regular auctions. So it'll be interesting to see what the next year brings.
All right, Greg, get better, and we'll speak to you guys in 2 weeks. Okay.
Sounds
okay,
good.
Thanks.
Well. Take care.
Be well, Marshall. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Greg Strom and Tim Luke appraise this. Once again, you can find them at tqag.com. Also at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on appraise this.